Today Shir's Masechta Pesachim Daf Chaf Aleph. We will begin on Daf Chaf Aleph Amar Aleph at the new Mishnah, the new Perek. Teaches us the Mishnah, Kol Shosh Shemutar Lechol Chametz, as long as one may eat chametz, Machal Behem L'chay L'Oifes, he could serve that chametz to the various animals that he has in his home. U'maychar L'Nachri, he could sell the chametz to a Nachri, and he may have hana from the chametz. The Tzlach points out, why does the Mishnah use the words kol shah? So he says that the Mishnah is trying to teach us, as we've learned in our previous perek, that chametz is, that the Erev Pesach is a very interesting day, because not all of the day is chametz osur, and not all of the day is chametz mutter. So the way to teach us that the different parts of the day, that sometimes it's mutter and sometimes it's asur, in that day itself, the Mishnah uses the word kol shah. So Rashi points out, how do we understand our Mishnah? The Mishnah says that as long as you're allowed to eat chametz, you're allowed to have anah from chametz. Of course, we're going to learn that in a moment that there are times during the day that we may not eat chametz, but we still could have anah from chametz. But there's never a time that we could not eat chametz and not have eat chametz and not have anah. So the question is, asks Rashi, if you're allowed to have eat chametz, you're certainly allowed to have anah from chametz. So why did the Mishnah have to say it? So he says that. So Rashi answers that the main point of our Mishnah is to teach us that when you may not eat chametz, that not only is chametz osu b'achila, but chametz is osu b'hanah. So the Sefer Or Chodesh asks on that the Mishnah at the end of the Mishnah says, Oves manoi osu b'hanosoi, that it says explicitly that when you may not eat chametz, you may not have hanah from chametz. So why does Rashi say that I need the beginning of the Mishnah to teach us that halacha? Of course, we know that that's the halacha from the end. So the Sfas Emes says that the Mishnah is coming to teach us that when chametz is also to be eaten, not only may you, of course, not eat it, not only may you not feed it to your animal, but you're not allowed to even feed it to an animal that's hefker. Because even though the animal doesn't belong to you, and you have no responsibility to feed that animal, still, Rashi, the Mishnah is teaching us, says the Sfas Emes, that our Isser and Chametz is so strong that we may not even feed it to any animal. The Maram Shik disagrees, because he holds that he brings opinions that say that you're allowed to feed an animal that's hefka, that you have no responsibility to chametz on Pesach. And therefore, he says that we would think, as we're learning in our Mishnah, as we're going to learn in our Mishnah, there's an obligation to do beer chametz. And we would think the way beer chametz is accomplished is by giving it to your animal, because the animal consumes the chametz entirely. That's what our Mishnah comes to teach us, that there's an isser to give the chametz to your animal. Oves manoi, but if the zman of eating chametz passes, osu b'hanosoi, you're not allowed to have any hanor from the chametz. It may not be used even for fuel. Concludes the Mishnah. Rabbi Huda's opinion is that ain't be a chametz ela sreifa. The only way to accomplish be a chametz is by burning it. You could crumble it and throw it to the wind, or throw it into the ocean. It doesn't require burning. So it's a very big question how to learn this machloikus of Rabbi Huda and the Chachamim. Many, the Bach and many others, are of the opinion that the Chachamim agree that burning chametz is the preferable method. But they're teaching us that you don't have to burn chametz, you could also crumble it, etc., and that will be a valid way to do the mitzvah of hashbasa. And that's very gishmak if we learn in the Mishnah the word af. So the af means also, you should preferably burn it, but if you can't burn it, you could destroy it any way you want. The Gra says that there's a question if the word af belongs in our Mishnah or not. So the Gra says that even if we don't have in our Mishnah the word af, everybody agrees that you could burn chametz, and it could be that everybody agrees that it's preferable to burn chametz. The Rif and the Rosh don't have the af in our Mishnah, and the way the Magen Avraham explains the opinion of the Rif and the Rosh, that according to the Chachamim, not only don't you have to burn the chametz, but actually they say it's better not to burn the chametz, just to crumble it and disperse it. And the Magen Avraham explains their opinion, because the Gemara, Masechta Temura, teaches us, Kol ha-negrarim lo yisrafu, that if something that's supposed to be buried should not be burnt, because if you're going to burn it, the ash will remain, and if the ash will remain, you may come to have anor from that ash. So from here we see, says the Magen Avraham, that if there's not a mitzvah to burn something, you should actually not burn it. There are many Rishonim and Achronim that disagree, and they say, it's going to be a Gemara that we're going to discuss later in our Shir today, Mitzvah Shem, that by chametz, everybody will agree that once you burn the chametz and you reduce it to ash, there is no iser. Once you burn the chametz and you reduce it to ash, there is no problem, and therefore everybody can understand that it's preferable to burn the chametz. Our Mishnah taught us the halacha of burning of moichel anachri, that before the zman, the halacha is you're allowed to sell the chametz. It's important to point out that when our Mishnah speaks about selling the chametz to Nachri, our Mishnah is not speaking about the Mechiras chametz that we're all familiar with, that we burned, that we sell chametz to Nakum. Because what our Mishnah is speaking about is selling the chametz to Nakum for a permanent sale. We're not talking about selling the chametz that you're going to take back, buy back the chametz after Pesach. The source for this halacha, to sell chametz and then take it back, is actually a Tosefta. The Tosefta says, Yisrael v'nachri shayibayim b'svina, Yisrael v'nachri was traveling in a boat, v'chametz b'yad Yisrael, and Yisrael is holding the chametz, hareza moichel v'nachri, you could sell it to Nachri, or noisna v'matana, give it to him a gift, v'choyzev v'loy keich v'menu l'acha Pesach. After Pesach, you could buy back that chametz. Uvad, if you're selling it to him or you're giving it to him as a gift, you have to make sure that it should be a full-fledged sale or a full-fledged gift. So from here we see that's the first place we find that you could sell the chametz to an akum with the intention to take it back. However, the Ritva says that the Tosefta that we're learning is not the way we actually do Mechiras Chametz. The Ritva says, let's learn that Tosefta. The Tosefta is talking about that you're on a boat, Erev Pesach, and you're stuck, and you have a problem with your Chametz. But to do it on a regular basis, that you sell your Chametz and every year to the Akum and buy it back, that is a Haroma, and that may be Osir. However, many Rishonim say that the Tosefta doesn't necessarily say that, and the Trumas Hadeshin and others are all of the opinion, as we do, that we could sell the chametz on an annual. We could sell the chametz on an annual basis, and that's the way the Shulchan Aruch paskens. What happened over the years is that originally every Yisrael would sell or give his chametz to the Yaakov. They would not do it that one person, one Rav, sold the chametz for everybody. However, what happened over the years, because there was a concern that the people who are selling the chametz, if every individual is going to sell the chametz to the Yaakov himself, there are many halachas involved in the sale of chametz, that it should be done properly. And as we learned, and we're going to learn, owning chametz on Pesach is the Isra Bal Yiroh, Isra Bal Yimotzei, there's a Chiyuv Tashbisu, there's a problem of chametz Shavol over Pesach. Therefore, because of all of those considerations, the Minig Yisrael became that people appoint the Rav. It's important to emphasize this. The Rav is not, you're not selling your chametz to the Rav. The Rav doesn't need your chametz. And the Rav doesn't need to have more chametz before Pesach. What we're doing is, we're writing a hashah. We're giving the Rav the authorization to sell the chametz on our behalf, because we know that he will do it properly. But what happened in others, and what also happened was that people owned animals. In those days particularly, most of the industry, most of what people did for a living was farming, and they had animals. And there was a real issue of the animals eating chametz, what they're going to eat over Pesach, because animal food was typically chametz. So what became also part of the minig was that they didn't just sell the chametz, as we just discussed, to the Nochri. They would sell the animals to the Nochri. So they would sell the animal and its chametz to the Nochri, that the chametz and the animal belong to the Nochri over Yontif, and that's why you could buy back, that's why the animal that you owned is not yours and can eat chametz on Pesach. The Sefer Bechor Shor discusses this very extensively. He says that is really a considered haroma. He says, selling all your animals, particularly if somebody had a large herd of animals, and selling your whole herd of animals to a Nochri, and then him buying it, and then buying it back from every after Yontif, he says that is not mutter. He says that they allowed to sell chametz, and originally he said even the minig of selling chametz was really instituted for somebody who has a hefsed merubah, who's going to take a big loss if he's going to have to dispose of chametz. For example, if somebody is in the whiskey business and he has a large warehouse, a large stock of whiskey, to have to be mafkered at is complicated. But to go abuse the whole heter of the whole issa of chametz and starting to sell not just your chametz but selling your animals as well, he says, is difficult to do. And part of the cheshbon of the Bechor Shor is as follows. We learned earlier in our Masechta that really bittel chametz is all that's required. Really, we learned that shnei dvarim einam reshusa shel adam. There are certain situations where what we're talking about einam reshusa shel adam. I really don't own that object. The Torah says that chametz bePesach is osur b'anah. The Torah says that technically chametz cannot be owned by a Jew on Pesach. Ella osma kosum reshusai. The Torah left them in my ownership. The only reason the Torah left it in my ownership is in order for me to be chayiv. But since I really technically don't own the chametz, so the Bechor Shor says it becomes much easier to sell the chametz, even though it looks like haroma. But explains the Bechor Shor, that isn't set on my animals. There's nothing chametz stick on my animals. So to rely on a mechira, which is a haroma, on your animals, the Bechor Shor is very reluctant. Most Achronim disagree, because the Achronim explain that when we sell the chametz, obviously the chametz that we're selling is not the chametz that we were mevatel, because you can't sell something you don't own. So obviously, the chametz that we are selling to the Nochri, and this is a very important issue, when we do bittel chametz on Erev Pesach, particularly if you're doing bittel chametz before the Rav sells the chametz to the Akum, what you should do is you should have in mind that I'm being mevatel all chametz, not the chametz that's being sold. Because the chametz that's being sold is not my, the chametz that's being sold is not my, is not, I don't want to sell it. I can't be mevatel it. I want to sell it. So they say that we see that the bittel has nothing to do with the mechira. And this is the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch Rav and the Nishmas Adam and the Oinig Yontif and the Ksav Seifer and the Mishnah Brura and Simon Tav Mem Ches Sif Katan Lama Gimel says that the minig of Klai Yisrael is that they sell the chametz, and in those days they sold the animal, and that the halacha is that you could do mechiras chametz on everything that you need to do mechiras chametz on. As we continue discussing the subject of mechiras chametz, what's going to be the halacha if you could give a gift to a guy, but your kavana is for your own benefit? Why? Because we just discussed that we're not allowed to, that if you have chametz, you could give it either Meichel Nachri, or we just quoted Tosefta, you could give it to the Nachri as a gift. But there's a din of Lo Sichonim, that we're not allowed to give a gift to an Akum. So there's a very big Mechloikis HaPoiskim, when do we apply the concept of Lo Sichonim? Many Paiskim are of the opinion that the Torah says, Lo Sichonim, we may not give them a gift. However, there are many Paiskim who are of the opinion that if we have a toelus, if we have something to benefit from giving the Akum the gift, then we may give the Akum a gift. And that's why, if here it's to our benefit to give the Akum the gift, or not just in the case that we're discussing of Mechiras Chametz, but even in a situation where you have leftover Chametz Erev Pesach, that you're not selling, you just want to dispose, but it's good Chametz, and you have an Akum, a neighbor, a worker, may you give the Chametz? The halacha is that if you have something to gain by giving the Akum that Chametz, he'll be thankful to you, he'll work better for you, you'll have a better relationship with your neighbor. And anyway, it's chametz that's going to get destroyed. Most poskim, the Masham and other poskim, say you're allowed to do it. And this has a number of halachic ramifications. One is, are you allowed to sell an apartment in Eretz Yisrael? You're selling you're leaving Pesach, you're leaving your home for Pesach, and you want to sell your entire apartment. So one of the definitions, loy sichonim, is loy titelem chaniya, that you're not allowed to sell them property. But here you're not selling it to them because you want to, here you're not selling them because you want to have hanah. You're selling because you want to give them chaniya bekarka, you want to give them residence in Eretz Yisrael. You're selling it because you want to solve the problem of chametz. So therefore, we could be more lenient. Or another example, the halacha is that any animal that has a firstborn boy, there's an issue of bechayra. And particularly b'zman hazeh, it's a very complicated issue. We don't have a kohen to give it to. The kohen would have to wait till it becomes a bal mum. So what we do is we sell to an akum. Because the halacha is an animal that's owned by an akum, obviously, there is no halacha bechayra. So the Barsham says, you're allowed to sell such an animal to an Akum. Or if you have workers who you want to give them a gift, not just, of course, the salary you owe them. Of course, you're allowed to give them a gift. If it's to your benefit that giving them a bonus, giving them a gift, they will be better employees, they'll stay with you. And the same question comes up regarding giving a non-Jewish waiter a tip. Of course, you have to pay for the food that you eat when you go to a restaurant. The question is, may you give him a tip? And the Paiskim say that if give it, certainly if giving the tip is part of what's expected, so then that's part of what you have to pay for eating the meal. But even if the tip is considered voluntary, so if you're giving the tip in order to get better service, then the halacha is that you may be able to serve, you may be able to give the gift. The Paiskim actually suggests that the tip should be given perhaps not at the end of the meal, if possible, that the tip should be given at the beginning of the meal. If you give your gift at the beginning of the meal, so then if you give the gift at the beginning of the meal, what you're accomplishing is that you want to get better service. Certainly, if you're giving the tip because you want to get better service, the halacha will allow you to do so, and that will not be considered that will not be considered that you did something that was wrong of Lo Yisachonim. So now, as we spoke a few moments ago, the minig Yisrael is to sell the chametz to the Nachri through a Rav. Now, when the Rav sells the chametz to a Nachri, the Rabbanim are very careful to try to do the Mechira, as we said earlier, that's the whole reason we do Mechiras chametz through our Rabbanim, to make sure that the Mechiras chametz is done properly. So what should not be done is that if you're one of the people who use this Rav to sell chametz, you shouldn't be an aid, you shouldn't be a witness to that Mechira, because you can't be a witness to a transaction which is relevant to you. And therefore, you should try to get, that the Rabbanim should try to make sure that the people who are doing the Mechira, who used him for their Mechiras chametz, should not be one of the people who are the Eidim on that Mechira. The Rishonah said that there was once a Rav who every year on Shabbos Tshuva would speak about Bir Chametz. And every year on Shabbos HaGadol, he would speak about Tshuva. And they came over to this Rav and they said, "Aren't you confused? On Shabbos HaGadol, you're supposed to speak about Bir Chametz. And on Shabbos Tshuva, he's supposed to speak about Tshuva." So the Rishonah said, no, that this Rav was correct. He says, because what does Bir Chametz represent? Bir Chametz represents destroying the Yetzer Hara. So therefore, Shabbos Tshuva is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to speak about Bir Chametz, getting rid of the Yetzer Hara. And on Shabbos HaGadol, we speak about Tshuva, because that's what Bir Chametz is all about. All of this is about doing tshuva. This Bir Chametz represents that we have to destroy the Yetzer Hara from our lives. So we learned in the Mishnah, Koshah Shemut Alecho, as long as you may eat chametz, Machel, you could serve the chametz to your animal. Ha, Koshah Shemut Alecho, the Deek of the Mishnah is, whenever you may not eat chametz, Ena Machel, you may not serve it. Ask the Gemara, Lema masnisin de like Rabbi Yehuda. So our Mishnah seems not to follow the opinion of Yehuda that we learned in the previous parak. It's very interesting that Tosfos, Divrei HaMaskil Lema, teaches us that usually when the Gemara uses the word Lema, Lema is understood as a Havamina, but that's not the Maskana. But here points out Tosfos, the Maskana indeed is that our Mishnah doesn't follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. So the word Lema, asked Tosfos, seems not to be appropriate. Says Tosfos that our Mishnah still uses the word Lema, because our Mishnah is coming to say that, a Gemara is trying to say that our Mishnah doesn't follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, it follows the opinion of Rabbi Meir. But at the end, we're going to learn that not only doesn't it follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, but it also doesn't follow the opinion of Rabbi Meir. And if that's the case, now we can understand why the Mishnah's wording is very appropriate. Says the Gemara. Ha, so again, the Mishnah saying, Koshah she'enem otalecha, when you may not eat chametz, enem achol. Ask the Ramas Nisan to like Rabbi Yehuda. Dear Rabbi Yehuda, we learned Rabbi Yehuda's opinion in the previous parak. There is the fifth hour of the day. Well, according to Yehuda, we may not eat chametz machel, but we may serve it to an animal. The Tanan, as we learned, the Mishnah said, "Remei ma oichlin kol chametz." We could eat chametz through the fifth hour of a sarfin betchila sheish. We have to burn the chametz at the beginning of the sixth hour, as we learned, midaraisa. You could burn the chametz. We only have to burn the chametz at the end of the sixth hour, but everybody agrees that we should burn at the beginning of the sixth hour. Rav Yehuda Omer, Oichlin Kol Arba, we're allowed to eat the chametz the fourth hour. Tan by Chamish, the fifth hour, we may not eat it, but the halacha is we could serve it to the animal. As we learned in the Gemara, because Rav Yehuda was concerned that people could get confused. And even though Rabbi Yehuda was concerned that people could get confused, he only made it osa b'achila. He did not make the chametz, explains the Pnei Yeshua, osa b'hana. So two reasons. Number one, Pnei Yeshua explains, even though, as we learned, Rabbi Yehuda is concerned that people get confused, most people, he explained, don't get confused. So we don't have to be so strict. Moreover, explains the tzlach, this achil of chametz is much more serious than this hanor from chametz. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda made the gzeira only on achilah, not on hanor. V'sar from tchil sheish, Rabbi Yehuda says you could burn it at the beginning of the sixth, you burn it at the beginning of the sixth hour. So Rabbi Yehuda clearly says that there's a time when we're not allowed to eat chametz, but we're allowed to have hanor from chametz, contrary to what our Mishnah is saying. Elamai. So what are we going to have to say? That our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rameya. Ask the Gemara, so then the language of Kol Shor Shemutar Lachol Machol, why by eating does the Mishnah use the word Mutar Lachol, and by eating, feeding it to the animal, it says Machol. The Mishnah, if the halacha of eating it and the halacha of Anah travel together, the appropriate language of the Mishnah should have been Kol Shor She'oichel Machem Alei. Therefore, because of this, says the Gemara, Amar Rav Barula Masnis Rav Gamlili. Our Mishnah does not follow the opinion not of Rameya nor of Rabbi Yehuda. It follows the opinion of Rav Gamlili. The Tanan Rav Gamlili Omer, Chulin Necholin Kol Arba. During the fourth hour, you're allowed to eat Chulin, Truma, which, as we learned so extensively in our previous perek, there's an obligation of Mishmeres Trumasi. We want to avoid destroying Truma. So there Chazal allowed you to eat the Truma even during the fifth hour. V'sar from Tchil Shesh. V'achkamer. And this is the way to understand the Mishnah. Kol Shor She'mutar Lachol Kohen B'Truma. As long as Kohanim, not Yisraelim, as long as Kohanim may eat Truma that's Chametz, which is the fifth hour, Yisrael Machal Chulun L'Behem L'Chai Vois, Yisrael could serve it to his animal. In other words, what we're learning is that the hanor that a Yisrael could have from chametz is connected to as long as a kohen can eat truma. But now we could understand that why the Mishnah uses this language to indicate that not everybody can eat chametz, only certain people can eat the chametz. Even though we just learned a Stam Mishnah that follows the opinion of Rav Gamliel, the Ritva points out that that's not the halacha. The halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda, and even though it should be considered a case of a machloikis, we had a machloikis in the Mishnah in the previous parak, v'akach stam, and now we have a stam Mishnah, the Ritva says that even though typically throughout Shas, the halacha is that a machloikis v'akach stam, we follow the stam, this is not the same as everywhere else. As the Gemara, our Mishnah said, ask the Gemara, Lama l'mister behema, Lama l'mister chaya. Why did Mishnah have to single out a behema and a chaya separately? Answers the Gemara, Tzricha. Ditana behema, if we would have only learned the behema, dimashaira, when an animal usually leaves over, he chazile. The owner sees what it leaves over, and therefore, we don't have to be so concerned. Alva chaya, but chaya, what they do, chaya is included a mouse and a weasel that we also discussed in our previous parak, that what they do is, the mishaira, whatever they leave over, kamatznele, so you're going to have chametz in your possession without knowing about it. Therefore, emaloi, that we should not be so lenient and we should have to stop feeding these animals a chaya earlier. Vitan a chaya, mishin de mishayir mis mitzna. If it has leftover chametz, it hides it, and therefore, even though you'll be over, this is the way Rashi learns, you'll be over the isser about your matzah, you won't be over the isser about your raw because you don't see it. Al behem zim de mishayra, but an animal sometimes leave over chametz for a masik atatei, and you don't see it, and if you don't see it, you don't think about it, and even though Rashi points out that you already did bittul chametz after you did bedikas chametz, you didn't have this chametz in mind when you did the bittul chametz because you knew you're leaving over chametz for the animal, and therefore not only will you be over, but you'll be over by your raw by your matzah aim aloy. So therefore, we would be more machmer by behema tzricha to teach us that both by behema and mechaya we could do it. So the Rishonim ask, we learned in the previous parak on Daf Tes, Masha Meshayer, whatever chametz you have left over after Bedikas chametz, you nechene betzina, you have to put it away in a place, shloitova chulda v'titl v'fanea, that a mouse shouldn't come and take the chametz, and that we should have to do another Bedika. So how do we understand our Mishnah? So one teretz is that the only time Chazal were concerned were homes where there are cholders, where there are these weasels. Most homes, Baruch Hashem, don't have that. We don't have to be concerned about it. Or maybe the animal that we're talking about is an animal that we have total view of what they're doing, and therefore that's why it's mutter. Moreover, that Mishnah's concern was that the animal may take it when we don't see what they're doing. But if we see what the animals are doing, it's no problem. So now ask the Gemara, Oifas Lamali, why did our Mishnah also mention birds? Answers the Gemara, I did Tani Behem V'chaya. Since the Mishnah mentioned Behem V'chaya, therefore the Mishnah mentioned Tani Nami Oifas. The Mishnah also mentioned Oifas, even though there's really no Chiddush involved. And the Mishnah said, Maicho Nachri. The halacha is, you could sell the chametz to a nachri before the zmani surai. Ask the Gemara, pshita. Of course you could sell the chametz to a nachri before the zmani surai. Why wouldn't we be allowed to sell the chametz? Answers the Gemara, lefuki me'ay tana. Our Mishnah is coming to disagree with the following tana. The tana b'shamay omrim. B'shamay says, lo yimcha adam chametz l'nachri. A person may not sell chametz to a nachri before Pesach. Elm kein, unless you are certain that the nachri will eat up all of the chametz, will consume all of the chametz before Pesach. Beisal disagree, and their opinion is as long as you may eat the chametz, mutar limkar. So the Rishonim debate how to understand Beis Shammai's opinion. Some explain that Beis Shammai's opinion is that every Jew has an obligation to dispose of his chametz before Pesach, that it should be burnt. And if you're going to sell it, and it will still be in the world before Pesach, then you have not fulfilled your obligation. Of course, the difficulty with that pshat is that once you sell the chametz, why is it considered yours that you have an obligation to dispose of it? So therefore, they explain that the reason Beis Shammai says you're not allowed to sell the chametz to a nachri is because people will see that you'll sell chametz to a nachri, and they're going to see, and your chametz is recognizable that it's your chametz, and people are going to be concerned. Well, we spoke earlier in our shir that you, even if you indeed sold the tarakum, the entire mechira was a harama, and because of that, the halacha is that the Beis Shammai held midrabbanon, you can't sell your chametz once 30. At most, Rishonim explain since it's 30 days before Pesach, and as we learned in our previous perek, shoylem v'darshim shloishim yoyim koydem achag. So at that point is when the bedikas chametz. That's the point when Pesach is, so to speak, in the ear, and that's when, from then on, Beis Shammai said, you have to sell the chametz. According to Beis Hillel, you could sell your chametz at any point. And the Rishonim explain, because according to Beis Hillel, as we said at the beginning of our shiur, selling your chametz to an akum is actually a method of fulfilling tashbisu. And as Rabbi Chanan explains, even without saying that part, he says, where does the Torah tells us, where does the Torah give us the requirement of tashbisu? So Rabbi Chanan explains, the requirement of tashbisu was only in a place where I own the chametz. But if I sold the chametz, so it's no longer my chametz. If it's no longer my chametz, I have no obligation of tashbisu. The Mishnah Brura in Siman Tuf Mem Hei Sifkot and Yud says that technically, as we quoted the Mishnah Brura earlier in our shir, one may sell chametz to an akum, and not only is the halacha that one may sell chametz to an akum, the halacha is you could sell all of your chametz to an akum technically, but the Mishnah Brura says it's appropriate to leave over some chametz, because by leaving over some chametz, you will, says the Mishnah Brura, fulfill the mitzvah tashbisu, actively destroying your chametz. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir Omer, continues the Gemara, kutach was a type of a dairy dip that also had in it bread crumbs. The kamine kutach, aslam kishloshi yoyim shikoyim Pesach, may not be sold for 30 days before Yontif. Because since kutach was only eaten as a dip, so it wasn't consumed very quickly, Rabbi Yehuda holds, like Beis Shammai, that a person has, once 30 days before Pesach comes, as we just said, may not sell chametz to the akum, and therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says that you can't sell kutach, and that's why our Tana, says Rashi, that disagrees, u'maychor l'nachri. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara, and Rashi's and the Gemara's coming to teach us that we don't follow the opinion of Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. So what is Rabbi Yehuda asked the Bach, saying more than Beis Shammai? So Rabbi Yehuda's being machmer that you can't even sell the smallest amount of kutach to an nochri once it's 30 days before Pesach. This is Rashi's pshat in the Gemara. Tosfos, the Rimaskul Rabbi Yehuda, actually has a different approach to this Gemara. He's saying that Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira is not following the opinion of Beis Shammai. Rather, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira is following the opinion of Beis Hillel, who said, as we learned a moment ago, we may sell chametz to an akum. He says, but kutach is different, because kutach, everybody had their own recipe for kutach, and therefore, since everybody had their own recipe for kutach, when you sell your kutach to the akum 30 days before Pesach, and it's not going to be consumed, people will think that you're still doing business with chametz on Pesach. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda was machman kutach. And Tosfos goes on to explain that the advantage of learning this pshat is as follows. He says the advantage here is that to say that the Mishnah is coming to teach us, as Rashi said, that we don't follow the opinion of Beis Shammai and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, who according to Rashi agrees with Beis Shammai, we don't need a Mishnah to tell us that. Of course we don't follow that opinion. We never follow the opinion of Beis Shammai. But now that we're saying that Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira actually agrees with Beis Hillel, but he makes kutach into exception, teaches us our Mishnah that even we don't follow the opinion of Yehuda ben Beseira, even though he's saying his opinion according to Beis Hillel. We learned, what about Hanoah? Ask the Gemara, if you're allowed to eat the chametz, you're certainly allowed to have Hanoah from chametz. Pshita, answers the Gemara, Leitzricha, our Mishnah is coming to teach us that you have a situation, Shecharchoi, that you burnt the chametz, Koinem Zmanoi, before the Zman of Issa chametz, the Kamashmuan, and our Mishnah is teaching us as what Rava taught us. Dama Rava taught us, Chorchoi, if you burn your chametz before the Zman of the Issa chametz, Mutta Bahano, You may have anor from that chametz afilu lachazmanoi, even after the zman iser. Because by burning the chametz, you make it that it's no longer considered chametz. But of course, say the Rishonim, and this is the Psak in the Shulchan Aruch, the halacha that you could burn the chametz and it's no longer a problem is only if you burn it before the zman iser. But once it's after the zman iser, if you burnt it, it's too little, too late. There is a machlokes apayskim. If you burnt the chametz after the zman iser, is it osur b'deraisa, only osur b'drabanan? And according to most rishonim, if you burn it, the halacha is it's mutar b'achila and it's certainly mutar b'anah because it's afra ba'alma. There are rishonim who say that it's only mutar b'anah and not b'achila. And there's a very famous Rosh here. The Rosh says that if you have chametz, which you burnt, if you have chametz that you burnt, and the chametz now, you go and eat it. So the Rosh says that by eating the chametz, you're being machshiv the chametz. Achshivei. The Rosh says, by you eating it, you're showing that it's not worthless to you. Otherwise, why would you be eating it? And this is the basis for the shaila of eating of medicine. Because medicine, the way they make medicine is obviously they make it not royal achila. And after they make it not royal achila, then they want to serve it. To put it into the medicine and they put in other ingredients. And it is edible. So the question is there issa or no? So according to the Rosh, maybe we should say achshvei. But there's a famous vort from the Chazon Ish, and Rav Moshe also held that way. They are of the opinion that we're not concerned about that. And they explain the reason that we're not concerned for it is because the only time we say achshvei, explains the Chazon Ish, is I want this thing that I burnt. Here, the medicine, the chametz component of the medicine component of the chametz is not what is the chametz. It's the other ingredients, and therefore it's mutter. There's a very famous discussion by the Poskim about something called citric acid. They call it chumtzis limon. What is the status of that on Pesach? Because it's a very popular food ingredient, but what happens with the way to make it is they make it inedible, and then after making it inedible, we're using chumstig ingredient, then they reconstitute it to a way that it could be eaten. What's going to be a halacha regarding it? So the Miches Yitzchak in Chelek Zayin, Simen Chav Zayin, has a very long discussion about it. Number one, he says, you have to be certain that in the process of making it, it becomes an royal achilas caliph. He says, number one, number two, even if it becomes an royal achilas caliph, if it's just part of a process, the first I start making it, and then I am making it and producing it, I make it inedible, but then I make it edible, that may not be considered what Chazal said, chorchoy, that was completely burnt. Chazal say, completely burnt means that it's completely burnt on a permanent basis. And then, of course, he points out what we just mentioned, the concept of achshvei. And since it's achshvei, by you wanting to have it, so the Rosh says, when it's achshvei, we don't have the het of chorchoy. We learned in the Mishnah, of Azmanoi, that after the zman of chametz, osva no. So ask the Gemara pshita. Of course, once it's past the zman, chametz is osu b'hano. Answers the Gemara l'tzuricha. What our Mishnah is coming to teach us is l'shos d'rabonim. That as we learned earlier in the Masechta, chametz mid'raisa has to be disposed only at the beginning of the seventh hour. And our Mishnah is teaching us that the earlier zmanim that Chazal said, we may not have already a noah from chametz. Damar Rav Gidla, Rav Chiba Yosef, Omer Rav Yochanan, Hamakadish Mishay Shos Lamala. If somebody is Mekadosh a woman, we had this Gemara at the beginning of the Masechta, from the sixth hour and on with chametz, even if the chametz is only awesome with Rabbanon, afil b'chitik kor d'naisa and choshen l'kedushin. So there's two ways of learning this Gemara. Rashi's approach is that you will Mekadosh an Isha with chametz, but the time you will Mekadosh the Isha with chametz was a time where it's not awesome deraisa, it's only awesome derabanan. Still, the kedushin is not a valid kedushin. And as we explained on Dav Zayin, because whenever we're mekadosh an isha, we say hareat mekadosh shli kadosh Moshe Yisro. We condition our kedushin on being valid only kadosh Moshe Yisro if the rabbanan validated. And the rabbanan said that the chametz is also bahanah. Another pshat we discussed was it has no value. And since it has no value, the halacha is that when you're mekadosh an isha, you have to be mekadosh with something that has a value minimally of a pruta. Chametz at that point has no monetary value. But Tosfos takes a different approach. Tosfos' approach is, what the Gemara means is, that during Pesach, you mekadosh a woman with chametz, and the chametz that you use during Pesach is only chametz midrabanan. So midraisa, maybe the kedushin should be a valid kedushin because it's not something which is chametz midraisa. Teaches us our Mishnah, that teaches us our Gemara, that even if it's only chametz midrabanan, the kedushin would not be a valid kedushin. The loyasik by Tanav Karayim, the Mishnah says you can't use chametz for fuel in your oven. Ask the Gemara, if it's osbano, obviously you may not use it. Answers the Gemara Lo Tzricha. Our Mishnah is coming to teach us, according to Rabbi Yehuda the Omer, that the way we do Bir Chometz, El Sreifa, by burning it, so Sal Kedat Chemina. Homer Rabbi Yehuda taught us in our Mishnah, Mitzrasa B'Sreifa, that we should burn the Chometz, so maybe we should say that if we're doing a mitzvah of burning the Chometz, but how did the Kasar Flay, while we're burning it, we could still have a no. Kamash Malon, that we may not have, we can't, once the chametz is osba no, and I'm burning it, I can't burn it in a way that I will have hano. I'm a chizkia. So chametz chizkia. Menayin l'chametz b'Pesach osba no. How do we know the Pesach chametz is osba no? Shnevel lo yoich l'chametz. Shlo yeboi, what the Torah says, lo yoichol, heter achila. You're not allowed to eat it. And having hanor from the chametz can come to eat it. So ask the Gemara, Tama, the way to understand Chizkia, is Tam the Kosh Rachman Aloya chametz. Chizkia is concerned that hanor will come to Achila. Halay Kosh Aloya Achil. Had the Torah not used that word, not a word that seems to indicate that we should avoid doing anything that could come to eating chametz, have a minute, we would think, ask the Gemara, the Issa hanor Loy Mashma. The word lo yachal itself doesn't include an issa hanor. Says the Gemara, upligid Rav Avuah. This is contrary to what Rav Avuah taught us. Dam Rav Avuah, Rav Avuah taught us, kol mokim shnema lo yachal lo yachal lo yachal. Wherever the Torah uses that type of a wording, echad issa achilav, echad issa hanor b'mashma, issa achilav and issa hanor are included. At shifar lecha kosov, until the Torah explicitly tells you that you could have ano, kederech shepart l'cha b'nevela. That the Torah says by a nevela that you're not allowed to eat it, but the Torah also tells us that you're allowed to have ano. So Chizkia, that learned not like that, but Chizkia said that the reason chametz you're not allowed to have ano, because you may come to eat it, obviously is contrary to Rav Avuah. Because according to Rav Avuah, as soon as it says, lo yachal, this ano is included. The Tanya, and the Gemara teaches us where we learned this. The Torah says, "Leisach l'kol nevela, legerasha b'sherechet et nena v'achola, and machla achri." Continues the Brisa. The Torah says, "What should we do with the nevela? Either give it to the ger toishiv. A ger toishiv is a person who lives amongst us. The machloikus, which mitzvahs he was makabel, so he's not a full-fledged Jew. He may eat nevela or sell it to a nachri." Says the Brisa, "Only el ger menasina that we have to give." The ger the nevela, or a nochri b'mechira, or sell it to the nochri. Ask the brayso a nochri b'mechira menayin. How do we know leger b'mechira menayin? How do we know we could sell it to a ger? Tamloim leger shabesherecha tetnano amachar. We're learning the word amachar not only on the, we're learning the kama, not after the word v'achla, we learn it after the word amachar. On the other hand, ask the Gemara, l'nachri b'n nesina b'nayin, how do we know we're allowed to give it to a nachri? Tamalayim t'tnana v'achla y'machar, the kama should be put v'achla, t'tnana after the word b'sharecha, t'tnana v'achala amachar. That means you could give it to a rakam. Nimtzis at Oimer, echa nachri v'echa ger, both echa ger v'echa nachri, both a ger or a nachri, b'em b'cher b'en sinu divrei meyer. Yud Oimer, no, dvarim k'ksovim. We have to follow exactly what it says in the Torah. L'ger b'en sinu, to a ger we should give it, or a nachri b'mechira. Ask the Gemara, my time to Yehuda, why does Yehuda disagree with Remeir? Isak Adatach, says the Gemara, Kedom Remeir, says Yehuda, if Remeir were correct, Lech to Rechmana, the Torah should have written, Leger should be Sherech at Nana, Vachloi Amachar, without the word Oi, Oi Lamali, why did the Torah add the word Oi? The Dvarim Kiksovim, that the Ger we should give it to, and the Nachi we should sell it to. Remeir, so what does Remeir do with the word Oi? Lahagdim the sin of the machri lemechir the ger. It's preferable to the give it to the ger. It's not something that's very valuable. We're living in Eretz Yisrael. There are very few people that eat nevela, so it's better to give it to him. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Haloi tzar kro." We don't need a pasuk to tell us that we should preferably give it to the ger, because kiven the ger at the mitzvah lachyoy. So we have an obligation to support the ger toshiv, as the pasuk says, ger v'toshiv v'chai imach nachri, but a regular nachri ain't atum mitzvah lachyoy. So we have no such obligation. So obviously, leitzar kro, that's what you should preferably do svaruhu. But what we see from here at this point is that Rebbe Avuah holds that when the Torah uses the word layoichel or in any form of that word layoichel, what the Torah means to teach us is that not only is achila asur, but even hanah is asur as well.